Yeah. Huh? Sound great? So today we're going to do something differently than we've ever done during my tenure here, in which I'm not going to preach by myself, if that's all right. We're going to do something a little bit different. And as you walked in, you were handed papers that were written by people, young kids, teenagers, that are currently in the Rocky Creek Youth Ranch facility, which is a residential facility over in the Leadwood area. All right. West County School District. Thank God. All right. Go Bulldogs. But these kids wrote a little bit about their story. Michaela typed all of these, printed them out so that you could get a glimpse as to who is currently at Rocky Creek Youth Ranch. For those of you that don't have any idea what Rocky Creek Youth Ranch is, we're going to explain that here in just a little bit. But before we go too far, you're going to hear from a few different people this morning. And then we're going to invite those of you who are interested in whatsoever. Maybe you're like me that didn't know what Rocky Creek Youth Ranch was. Maybe you have no idea what the foster care system really entails. Maybe you have no idea what you could do for kids who are currently in need. We're going to invite you to the building right next door, right after service, to a lunch that's been prepared. And we're going to have a little Q&A type discussion. So today I really want to just look at a way that you and I can meet real needs really close to home in our real time. Because if we aren't careful, we will get so consumed into coming and consuming week after week after week to where we are spiritually obese and we have no desire to go out and to serve. My prayer for all of us is that we will use this morning as a way to compel us to step out of our comfort zone and maybe to serve kids in need. So we have a little change of plans. And if you know me, you know that I'm already sweated through all my deodorant for this morning because our 10:45 speaker thought that he would be speaking at 11:45. So he's still on his way. So what we're going to do is we're going to change the order of plans as we had originally planned. And it's all going to be okay, right? Praise God. Pray for me. So at this time, I'm going to introduce a few people and I'm going to introduce them to come. And they're going to share just a few minutes of what God has done in their life. They're going to share just a couple of minutes of how people stepping out of their comfort zone, stepping into a world of the unknown, has impacted them. And I'm going to call up our own domestic missionary, I would call her, Brianna Summers, who's been in the trenches of fostering kids, but also serving at Rocky Creek Youth Ranch for a couple of years now. And she is what I call our domestic missionary, who's willing to step out of her comfort zone and to go and to serve. And she's willing to run through walls for people. And we just thank God for her. And she's going to speak here in just a moment. And then I'm going to invite Amy Averill, who many of you may know is our foster daughter, and then Summer Carmack. Is that how you pronounce it? Who is being fostered by the Summers family. And today is just, again, a conversation that we're going to open up and we will conclude next door. And I will try to conclude it as well as Mr. White gets here in just a few minutes and he will conclude. And we're going to have time over there to where Mrs. Burnside was going to give a little bit about what she does. Carly Thomas give a little bit about what she does and ways in which you and I can step out of our comfort zones, step into real ministry, because here's the reality. This is pretty comfortable, isn't it? It is. Full house, we got chairs brought over from the building. It's comfortable. Preaching to a full house, tithes are going up, we're able to do much more. But are we willing to get our hands and feet into the business of ministry? Are we willing to minister to people that may not speak like we do? Are we willing to minister to people that may not have their hair fixed and their right clothes on Sunday morning, but are wandering in darkness in the world? Are we willing to be more than just the checkbook of Jesus and the true hands and feet of Christ? And that's what we're going to do today. So I would like to introduce first Miss Brianna Summers, and she's going to break the ice.
Hello, everyone. I started getting kind of sick last night, so I'm sorry if I start coughing and my voice is a little rough. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Brianna Summers. I'm happily married to my husband, Colton Summers. We have three children and are currently fostering very tall, bold Summer. In our growing relationship with the Lord, my husband and I have been led to want to serve more, and we just wanted to share with you all what that has looked like for our family. As Trevor mentioned, I started volunteering at Rocky Creek back in November of 2022 when Carly Thomas, a member of our church, made a post about needing volunteers. I called to get information because I had no idea what Rocky Creek was, and it turns out it's a residential facility. So what is that? It's actually a facility where children in foster care go when they need more structure. Some children are there because of behavioral issues. Their foster placements were being disrupted. But other children are there truly to no fault of their own. There's just nowhere for them to go. Rocky Creek does accept boys and girls ranging from ages 6 to 19 years old. And I'm going to repeat that one more time. 6 years old to 19 years old. Over the past year and a half, I spoke with many different children's division workers like Lynn, Burnside, and Richard White for numerous reasons, but one recurring statement I often hear them say is just, we don't have enough homes for these kids to be in. I've also heard a lot of them agree that a residential facility can actually add more trauma to them and isn't beneficial for them to be there long term. There have been a few kids that I've met at Rocky Creek that were actually at the facility for 2 years straight. And I understand there is a need for that facility. If it wasn't there, these kids would actually be sleeping in their caseworkers' offices. But at the end of the day, it's not a home and it's not a family. No matter how good a residential, group home, transitional living placement, or job corps may be, it will never be a home or a family for these kids. We have been blessed with a small group that comes out to Rocky Creek consistently, and we've also been blessed with a lot of people from our church reaching out and asking us what they could provide and what they could donate, but there's nothing that's going to help them more than your time. Lending them a listening ear or just giving them good, moral, godly advice or even asking how they're currently feeling about their circumstances. We do Bible studies with them every single Friday, and a question that came up in a lesson 1 week was, what makes you feel like someone loves you? How could someone show you that they actually care about you? And almost every kid answered with statements like, someone just sharing my pain with me, someone listening to me, or not leaving me when things get hard. Not a single kid that day asked for anything of monetary value. And that was one of the Fridays that I left crying. Another one was when I started our lesson with our prayer request. Every girl in the girls' bunk that day asked for a placement to go home or just to be able to leave Rocky Creek. I could sit up here for hours just sharing their hardships with you, and you reading their stories that they've shared doesn't even come close to how bad they're hurting, how badly their hearts are breaking, and most of them are going to age out of the system, and they're going to be sucked up by the world and become another statistic. Ones like, after turning 18, 20% of them will become instantly homeless. And Lynn Burnside just shared with me this morning that that 20% number has actually increased. Only one out of every two kids who age out of foster care will actually get some form of gainful employment by the time they're 24. There is a less than 3% chance for children who have aged out of the foster care system to earn a college degree at any point in their life. 7 out of the 10 girls who age out will become pregnant by age 21. Nearly 60% of the young men who age out or become legally emancipated will be convicted of a crime. And about 1 in every 4 kids who age out will not graduate from high school and not even be able to pass their GED. I'm aware that some of these kids have behavioral issues, some have trust issues, trauma, some struggle with self-sabotage. But I don't feel they're fully to blame, because let's not forget that the parents that God entrusted to nurture them have failed tremendously. I will not stand up here and justify all the mistakes that these kids make, but I think they are more than the poor choices they have made while trying to drown out their hurting hearts. I don't want what I'm sharing with you today to make you feel like I'm trying to guilt you into opening up your home and becoming a foster parent. That's not my goal at all, and I understand that God has blessed us all with different gifts, and not everyone is called to be a foster parent. But don't let what God has blessed you with go to waste, because there is something unique about how each of you speak, handle situations, laugh, and tell jokes, that will be able to impact one of these kids. And it will be an impact that only you can make, because you have been created with unique, amazing talents and gifts. And I wanted to share a few verses to shed light on that giftedness of God's people, as well as opportunities that we may have for you to share those gifts. In Romans 12, 4 and 6, or 4 through 6, I'm sorry, "For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them." Specifically today, we are sharing those gifts with those without a family, as stated in James 1:27. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Galatians 6:2 also states to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is of one love, to sacrifice and to serve others as demonstrated in Christ himself. Another Bible verse that really pulls at me is Mark 8:36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" I know that verse says to gain the whole world, but when I hear that, I can't help think of me just worrying about my life, my family, my inner circle, and my home, and doing nothing for no one else. I may not lose my soul to the world, but I would lose it to selfish ambition. And I don't want that to be me or you. We are also very aware of this crooked and twisted generation that we are living in today. And about a month ago, Trevor read Philippians 2:15 to us, "that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of the crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." May we strive to shine as lights in this generation and help the next generation break the chains of bondage that sinfulness has brought. Some of the consequences of that sinfulness leads to the suffering of kids, even though they have done nothing to contribute to it. These are things that Trevor preaches to us every single week, and we're now sharing an opportunity with you to take what you've learned and put it to use. This could be carried out as you take a kiddo to get their permit, if you wanted to show them how to change the oil on a car, or go for a hike, watch a movie, work out, get ice cream. Literally anything you already do in your routine, they would love to tag along with. And as I said earlier, these kids really don't need your money. They need your time, which I know is still asking a lot because time is precious, but we're not asking for all of it. Literally just one day a week, one day a month, or even once a year could make a huge impact on them. I want to help them break their cycle of brokenness and not become another statistic. Thank you.
I wanted to show Amy how to change the oil in a car, so I showed her to Corey Franklin's phone number. And thank God for them, right? So at this time, I'm going to introduce you to Summer Carmack. Come on up. Yeah. And then after that, Amy will come up in just a moment. They're both going to share just a few minutes of their story and how God has, these two are now home to our family and to the Summers family, and they can testify as to almost feeling rescued out of, whether that be Rocky Creek or the foster care system as a whole. So, Summer?
Hello. As some of you already know, my name is Summer. I'm living with the Summers family, and I have been in and out of state's care since I was 2 years old. About 8 months ago, I was put back into state's care due to my father's inability to control himself. In the last 8 months, I have been in 4 different foster placements and a residential facility due to lack of placement. A lot of these traditional foster homes are not as good as they sound. You get shipped. You get shipped to a random stranger's house and get your belongings and privacy stripped from you. One foster home I was at had a total of 7 kids, including me. I was sleeping in a bed that I shared with a 7-year-old. placed in a laundry room that was considered our bedroom. I was eventually taken to Rocky Creek Youth Ranch on October 27th, 2023, for what was supposed to be a maximum of 30-day emergency placement, which then turned into 74 days. Rocky Creek is a residential facility that put a limitation on my possessions, freedoms, and opportunities. I felt like I was being punished for a crime I did not commit. A normal 17-year-old senior year was far from my reality, as I was restricted to online schooling, sitting on a couch, and hopeful for outside time if the weather and staff cooperated. Thank you. During my time at Rocky Creek, I was reminded that due to my age, I would have very little hope of finding a foster home. I am grateful that Rocky Creek was an option over sleeping on a cot in an office, but at the end of the day, it was not a home or a family. It is truly a shame that people stereotype and label children who have been in residentials and or multiple homes as bad misbehaved kids without looking deeper and knowing the full story. I still struggle with my own problems and how to cope with the stresses of life, but that does not mean I should be written off or defined as trouble. I'm extremely and forever grateful for the family that the Lord has blessed me with, for taking me in and treating me as their own. I don't know what I would do without them. I'm glad they took a chance on me and saw me more than a troubled teenager. I'm sorry. I'm hoping being up here is that you would all be more open-minded about kids in foster care and look at us more than a lost cause, and maybe even walk alongside us in some of these unpredictable valleys that we are currently finding ourselves in. Thank you guys for all your time.
Okay, my name is Amy. Most of you guys know me as the King's foster daughter. I have been in foster care for 6.5 years now. After roughly 15 homes, there came a time where no foster homes were available. I got sent to a residential facility for 6 months because my family nor people I knew would step in to take me in because they didn't have the patience to do so. Most of my time there, I felt like giving up because since my family didn't care or have hope, I made myself believe that I didn't either. No visits from anyone, I definitely felt alone. I remember a kid was really excited saying, "We have a group today." I went up to a staff and asked, "What is group?" They explained to me that a group of people from church volunteered to come on a Friday and talk about the Lord and give us snacks. Sorry. My first reaction, to be honest, I didn't care. Until I met the group who volunteered to come see us kids. They would share about the Lord with us and sit there and listen to us when we needed someone to talk to. Ever since they started coming up there every Friday, I felt a little hope and faith growing inside me. Although they were not my family and they were complete strangers to me at that time, they took the time to come see us, and I can't explain the smile on the kids' face and mine.
And my face.
It made us feel like we were not completely alone and that someone is there for us. My remaining time there, I had grown faith and patience. I finally accepted that the residential facility I was at was not a punishment for me. It was a place to become better and to work on myself. All because I prayed to God to help me find my way, and He did. The group of people that sat there and took time out of their schedule to come see us was a blessing to me. And I hope it can be a blessing to many more kids out there. All because of God, I have a beautiful family. That was willing to let me into their life and to trust me. For everyone out there who thinks little is nothing, little is truly a lot to us. Thank you.
And I just want to share a few moments here before our next guest comes up. I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, if I may, and kind of continue this conversation for just a few minutes. And then this conversation will be carried over into the building where lunch is free. Amen. Everybody enjoys a free lunch. But more so than that, a little bit of your time in which if you are interested in whatsoever in helping kids in the foster care, maybe not being a foster parent, but becoming a consistent visitor to someone that has no consistency, or being a listening ear to someone that has no outlet, or being someone to take them outside of the Rocky Creek Youth Ranch grounds to hike, to go fishing, to go get ice cream, all of the things that we enjoy, as Brandon said, they would absolutely love to tag along. We got to where we were taking them to the gym every Monday night, and my goal was to make them all puke. And I loved it. I love personal torture. I love pain, you know. But I loved it that these teenage boys would puke every single week, multiple times throughout the workout, and then be anxious to come back the following week. They were willing to leave Rocky Creek to puke and to hurt because they needed to get away, because they needed time away from Rocky Creek. They needed time to feel normal for just like an hour or so in a gym setting. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13, Jesus is doing a lot of ministry. And the Bible says they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. You know, all throughout Jesus' life, he never said, "If you had faith like that person," but he said, "If you have faith like a child." You know, let's just face it. Whose time is valuable to you? Everybody, right? Everybody's time is valuable. I mean, think for just a moment. Jesus is Son of God. He is God in flesh, and he is coming for one purpose. His purpose was a little bit bigger than mine. He was coming to do what? Save the world from their sin. It's a pretty powerful purpose. That's a pretty important man walking the earth and who has a lot of great responsibilities to accomplish in just a few years' time. And he takes the time to rebuke his disciples. See, when we read these words, we read Jesus was indignant. And if you're like me, you're like, "Well, I don't even know what that word means, so I need to go research this." It was visually seen on Jesus' face and by his conduct that he was angered by his disciples for hindering the children from coming to him. He was visually angered. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone visually angered at you, but it's usually not a gentle conversation, is it? Frying pans, telephones, or whatever is in the closest reach or facility of your hands, right? Jesus is visually angered at his disciples because they didn't have time for the kids. They didn't have time. They had bigger and better things to worry about, didn't they? They didn't have the time for the little ones. They viewed as an obstacle to where they were trying to go next. But Jesus was so angered. He said, "You know what? You want to see the kingdom of God? You must be first and receive it first like they do. Completely dependent upon those who are above us." It's interesting to me. I go to work on a daily basis, unfortunately, and I drive just a few minutes and I'm able to travel many miles. Jesus' time spent on earth was traveled by foot, by donkey. Have you ever rode a donkey? Fast, right? I mean, you're blazing. No. He had a lot of time spent traveling from one village to the next. He didn't have the luxury of going to whatever mile per hour he was willing to fit, you know, pay the fines for, or to travel on the highways. Jesus' time was precious. His disciples almost viewed the children in their way as an obstacle, but almost something that was beneath them. Now we get to the heart of man. The heart of man, if we were to be completely honest, all of us struggle with one common thing, that we're selfish. You're selfish by nature. I'm selfish by nature. My time is important to me. My money is important to me. My family is important to me. My free time is important to me. I mean, my time is truly precious. It seems like I work 2 full-time jobs. I have a wife that I love dearly, and we have 5 kids in the home. My time is very, very scarce, but very, very precious. If I'm not careful, I'll almost become like the disciples. We don't have the time. You know, we've got this hobby over here. I'm working the overtime to buy that. I want to go vacation there. I got to go visit that. I want to see this. I want to buy that. Are you getting the point here? We're all guilty of it. We've got these hobbies here. We've got that interest there. We've got this much money to make to go there and to do that. My plea with you is not to become necessarily a foster home today. My plea with you isn't to just give everything you have and never do anything, because I'm all for working hard, building it, buying the nice things. But if we aren't careful, we will do what Jesus said. He says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If we aren't careful, we will cherish earthly things in which we will exhaust all of our resources, our time, our money, and our energy into earthly things. And I would plead with you today to think for just a moment about the fact that there are real needs, real close to home, that you could meet in our very real time. Jesus called us to be his hands and feet, not his checkbook. You know, it's very comfortable to just scan a QR code and punch my credit card numbers in, or to put a check in an envelope and send it on its way. But it's something completely different to step out of our comfort zones and to sacrifice of our time. As Brianna read, the fulfillment of the law of Christ is to bear what? The burdens of one another. There are some heavy burdens just down the road from here. There are some heavy burdens literally just in our county. And our next speaker is going to share a little bit about that. I just want to not to try and to emotionally entice you to come and to serve, and then 3 weeks later you're out because you felt guilted into it. I want to hopefully penetrate your heart as Jesus penetrated the hearts of his disciples, who viewed the kids in this particular story as an obstacle and getting in the way. We've got bigger and better things. And if we aren't careful, we'll be the same way as the church. I'm not accusing us of, but we could be. Couldn't we get so fixated on, hey, did you see who was at church today? Can't we get so fixated on attracting the right people, the people that have their hair curled, the people that have all the buttons up, the people that have a little bit of money to throw in the offering plate? We could get so fixated on that. And here's what I've come to the realization of. There is so much more ministry outside these four walls than you could ever put in here. There is so much more ministry that we can fill our time with, fill our resources, exhaust our resources with out there than I could ever do here, right here. My prayer is that you would consider the life that you're living. Are you continuing to seek self-pleasure, selfishness? Would you sacrifice a little bit of your time to give? And maybe you're like, this isn't for me. But if you have any questions whatsoever, if you have any desire to see what is there going on there, or what is going on over here, and which ways can I serve, in which ways can I volunteer, in which ways can I give, then I'm inviting you to a free lunch right next door, to where you can come and eat for free. And if nothing else, eat for free and listen. But if you have questions, interests, or even in the slightest bit concerned about what you could do or how you could help, what ways you could serve, then I invite you to join us right next door, in which we will finish this conversation. And now I'm going to invite Mr. White to come up, and he's going to share just a few minutes about what he does, and then also be present next door to, again, carry over, continue, and conclude this conversation that we've opened up today. And Mr. White, let me get a different...
So yeah, if you want to share just a few minutes on that, I can. Thank you very much. Trying a new strategy for asking people to do something to help today, and that's to forget what time I'm supposed to be there and be very disrespectful to folks that have agreed to let me stand here in this holy place and address God's people. So I apologize from the bottom of my heart. But I do want to wish you greetings from New Heights Church in Farmington. That's my home church. And also greetings from Children's Division. Those are the first folks that I work for. And I want to share with you just a little bit. I've got a fancy PowerPoint, but it's right here on these pages. I want to talk to you about being salt and light. Being salt and light in the lives of abused and neglected children. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13 through 16, he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Being salt and light. I had a conversation not too long ago with somebody who was unhappy with something that I did, and what I had done was based on my faith, and they told me that I ought not to have done that, and that I should check my Christianity at the door before I go in this place. And I said, "You don't understand. My Christianity informs everything that I do in my life. My faith is not just something that happens on Sunday. My faith is something that I live out from day to day. So every decision I make, everything that I think and do is hopefully informed by my faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." So Christianity is not just something that you believe. It's not a set of things that you say, "Well, I believe this, and I believe that, and I believe the other thing." Christianity is a life that you live, and that's how we can be salt and light. Jesus' brother James wrote this in James 1:27. He says, "Pure and undefiled religion." You might have heard this before this morning. I don't know. I missed it. I'm sorry again that I missed that. But pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows and their distress and keep oneself unstained from the world. I'm here this morning to tell you about the orphans and widows that you can help out in their difficult times. I want to first tell you about the need. Missouri has more than 12,000 kids in foster care at this time. 12,000 kids in foster care. Just think about that for a minute. Let that soak in. The 24th Circuit, which that's the folks I work for, 24th Circuit Children's Division covers St. Genevieve, St. Francis, Madison, and Washington counties. The 24th Circuit has, at this time, we're down, actually, whenever I pulled this number a few weeks ago, 380 kids in foster care. And that's down from what it was, but that's still, I mean, that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of children that aren't going home in the evenings after school to be with their moms and dads. Kids that aren't living the life that I know God has for them to live and that we all want them to live. Those are kids that aren't in their homes at night. Madison County has 65 children who are in foster care. St. Francis County has 176 children in foster care at this time. St. Genevieve County has 27 kids in foster care, and Washington is the second highest number. Washington County has 112 kids in foster care right now, or a couple weeks ago. Actually, we took a sibling group of five into care earlier this week. It might actually be a little bit higher than that right now. I should update my numbers. But that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of need. The 24th Circuit, are you ready? Are you ready for the number of foster homes that we have in the 24th Circuit? Now, these are traditional foster homes. Most kids, whenever we take them into alternative care, they go and they're able to stay with a relative. And so those are relative foster parents, and we try to get them some training and assistance to deal with with their new situation that they're in. But as far as traditional foster homes, there are 24 is the circuit. 39. There are 39 foster homes in all of the 24th Circuit. Only 39. Madison County has 4. San Francis County has 27. St. Genevieve County has 4. And Washington County has only 3. We have only 3 traditional foster homes in all of Washington County. So there's a lot of need. There's lots of, you can look at that negatively as if we don't have very many foster homes, or you can look at it positively in that there's lots of opportunity to step in and help. So I want to tell you a little bit about how you might be able to help the foster kids of St. Francis, St. Genevieve, Washington, and Madison counties. You can, first of all, I'll start with the big ask, and it is a huge ask. This ask is for you to turn your life upside down, okay? You can volunteer to be a foster home. It's a process. It takes about 90 days or so, 90 to 100, well, it's actually 120 days for traditional foster homes. There's 3 home visits. There's 5 background checks. We do we're responsible for where we put the kids, so we have to be careful. We gotta look at you real close. There's some training, and there's lots of paperwork, and they're going to walk through your house a few times. And then there's quarterly home visits from your licensing worker. But whenever you finish that process, you get those 90-day visits. You get a support network, children's division. The family support team consists of a guardian ad litem. A CASA worker a lot of times is involved, the juvenile officer. Hopefully the biological family is still involved, and we can reunify and get those kids back at home where they usually belong. I usually agree with children's division whenever they leave kids in a situation or put them back in a situation. Also, the child's case manager is part of that. There's professional services. There's mental health care that we can hook you and the kids up with, medical providers in our community. There's foster parent supports, like there's a Parkland Foster and Adopt. It's a web page, but they have events, and there's a support. They're kind of a support group for other foster parents. There's also monthly financial assistance that we help our foster parents with, clothing vouchers. All our kids get Medicaid, and we help with daycare. So you can be that person that gets that call in the middle of the night whenever an investigator calls you and tells you about a kid that's having the very worst day of their life. That's what you're stepping up to do. I mean, it's a big ask. It'll turn your life upside down, but it's an opportunity to help that's unlike any other that I'm aware of. And I've got tremendous respect for all of our foster parents. You can be salt and light in another way. You can become a respite provider. That's kind of like dipping your toes in the edge. A respite provider basically is somebody who gives a break to a foster parent for a period of hours or days. And there's the process for that is much simpler than the foster care license actually is. So I invite you to think about that. You can be salt and light. Your church can be salt and light by being a member of what's called a care portal. You can be a care portal church. We need 7 in each county to get things started. I know there are other counties in the area like Cape County. I think they're involved in the care portal. But I'll tell you briefly what it is, and then I've got some handouts in a bag way back in the back of the church. But 7 churches to get things started, and that's just so the thing works whenever we start to use it, and it's not overly burdensome for anybody. It's an app that you put on your phone. Your church would have a coordinator for the care portal, and then they would recruit amongst the membership. And whenever, like, say, we have a need, not too long ago we had somebody who was a relative provider, and, you know, they didn't sign up for this. They didn't ask for it. It just kind of got put on them, but they did the right thing. They stepped up. They took these people into their home, but they didn't have a bed for them. Well, in that circumstance, we could put that need on the care portal and say, well, we need $200 for a bunk bed because we've got this sibling set of 2. They're going home with Uncle Johnny and Aunt Linda, and so we need $200. And I'm a church member. My church is the Care Portal Church. It pops up on my phone. Ding, right there it is in my magic communication box. I hit the button and I say, well, I don't have $200, but I got 25. So I punch the button. I say, I got 25 bucks. And everybody's immediately notified that that need is now not 200. It's only 175. And so many hands make light work. And God's people through the Care Portal can be a support for the foster families. If you can't be a foster family, then you can help to support a foster family, or you can help support a family that's, and do something that's able to help their family to keep those kids in their home. So, another thing, goods, that would be goods. Another thing would be services. Not long ago, I'm like the home finder for the 24th Circuit. So whenever we have kids that come into care, if they need a little bit of help, they're running around scrambling, trying to get things done, and they give the job to me to locate a foster home, and I enjoy doing that. But I had a relative that I found. This was a difficult to place kid. He was moving from one place. He couldn't stay there anymore, so I'm looking for a place for him to go. And I do an internet search. I Facebook stalk everybody that I can find, and I finally find this relative, and they're able and willing to take him in, except for some reason, in Fredericktown, if you're in the alternative school, you only go to school half a day. So he was going to have some time where there was nobody at home because mom worked and dad worked. We can't have 14-year-old Johnny, who's got kind of shady, difficult things that have gone on in the past. We can't have him running loose in the house for 2 hours with nobody there to watch him. So if we had had Care Portal, we might have been able to have salvaged that placement by people being able to step up and say, take Johnny and mentor him for an hour. And you could rotate that between 5 people or 10 people or however many people wanted to step up and help. But then we could have resolved that issue. So the Care Portal, I'm very excited about it. You would be the first church, I think, in Washington County to be a Care Portal church. And we would just need 6 more in order to get that off the ground. So I won't take up too much of your time. I do have a link that I'm going to leave here with the pastor. And it's one of those magic pictures. If you take a picture of it with your phone, then it takes you to a website. And that's for the church coordinator. All right. Here's a super hot microphone. Super hot.
The QR code, and it does work. So we will have this. We can post it online. We could share it on the TVs maybe. I just want to thank Mr. White. I want to thank Brianna. I want to thank Summer. I want to thank Amy for all coming and sharing a little bit. But again, this is just a little bit about the conversation that's been started. We want to continue this conversation next door. For those of you that are interested in whatsoever, if you have questions, how do I do this? Or how can I become respite care? Or how can I volunteer at Rocky Creek? Or how can I go and give in the Care Portal? Or what can I do? If you have any of those questions, any of those concerns, we invite you next door immediately after 3 baptisms in just a minute. You know, it's ironic that baptisms are all kids to me, because I'm 32, and they're kids. Some of you, they are going to be kids, or maybe even grandkids, or great-grandkids. But it's interesting that we have 3 baptisms, all young individuals, on a day that we're talking about truly investing in being salt and light to children. It's amazing what kids can do when you care for them. It's amazing what kids can accomplish when you extend love to them. It's amazing how they can succeed when you guide them. So here in just a minute, I'm going to call Jeff up and his 3 Musketeers, and we're going to get to see 3 kids get baptized today, which is an awesome celebration. Awesome. And as we leave here today, if you go on your merry way, I just want to say happy Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week. But if you come next door where we have lunch, and you have questions, concerns, or just want to listen a little bit more, I want to kind of figure out how we as a church plan to move forward and maybe, you know, volunteering outside of the church domain, the church walls. How many more kids could we see being raised to life in Christ? How many more kids could be feeling the experience and the freedom of the bondage that they were born into or maybe sentenced to due to the actions of mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or aunt and uncle? So I just want you to think for just a moment in which kind of light you can shed, what kind of salt you can be to kids in our own community who truly do need us. So at this time, I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Gibson.